Now, the rest of the story. Nobody, but nobody ever saw the lady of the house. Now remember what I just said. Some playfully suggested that she did not exist at all, knowing full well that she was there, but she was shut up in her bedroom, the draperies closed tightly. Physically, there was nothing wrong with Jane. Many years before she'd had tuberculosis, she was frail and small, with thin, pencil-like features, not sturdy at all, and yet, medically, there was no reason for Jane's total seclusion. It was simply the life she chose. You see, in the winter of that year, January 6, the family was returning by rail from Boston to their home in Concord, New Hampshire. And there was 11-year-old Benny, his daddy Frank, and mother, Jane. And Jane was quite a protective mother, and with a profound motive, she'd already lost two children. Her first son had died in infancy, her second at the age of 4. And Benny, her third son, was now an only child, so Jane watched over him very carefully. The train was traveling at full speed en route Concord when it happened. An axle on one of the passenger cars sheared off. The crippled coaches, helplessly linked, tumbled down a steep embankment. There were cries of confusion and pain. After the crash, Frank pulled himself from the twisted rubble. Jane, still at his side, was also bruised, but otherwise unharmed. It was as though 11-year-old Benny had vanished. Obviously, the boy had been thrown elsewhere in the coach as it toppled from the track. Frank called out, "Benny?" No answer. Frank searched. And then he saw the child's body, crumpled in the wreckage. The back of his head was gone. And suddenly, livid, Frank threw a shawl over the lifeless form, but not in time, because Jane had caught a glimpse of her son, and horror-struck, screamed. In an instant, Jane's world had been obliterated. The years left to her would be virtually devoid of reality. Frank assured his wife that they would have a new home and a new life. There would be nothing to remind them of their loss. But the first day in that new home, Jane went upstairs to her bedroom and closed the door. And there she stayed, behind that closed door. A devoutly religious person, Jane perceived what had happened as a judgment from God. Overwhelmed by guilt, she hand-wrote letters to her dead son, begging his forgiveness for any inattention, for any love she might have failed to show. And meanwhile, Frank frantically attempted to console his wife. It was not right, he said, for her to withdraw like this. It was not healthy. Jane must come out into the sunlight now to breathe the fresh air and put all of the anguish behind her, but the melancholy woman would not respond to her husband's urgings, and she kept the world locked out for 2 years. In fact, Jane never fully recovered from her grief. She wore black inside and out for the rest of her life. The very few social functions she attended, she infected with her morbidity. I'm glad you've met Jane. She has given you another perspective on a position you might have believed always enviable. If you're happy in your life, whatever your life, you're a winner. For Jane hated her husband's profession. Jane was haunted by death and by guilt. Even though the new home in which she was solitarily confined was the most magnificent home in the United States. The newspapers called her the shadow in the White House. She was the wife of the President of the United States, Franklin Pierce. She was the first lady of the land. But now you know the rest of the story.